This committee owes an apology.
Jesus.
This committee owes an apology. Apology, Senator.
Hello and welcome to Movie Heads. I'm your host, George, and that was a scene from Godfather 2, the movie that we're going to be talking about today. It was made back in 1974, and it runs at 3 hours and 22 minutes. It is rated R. It was directed by Francis Ford Coppola and written by Mario Puzo. It was produced by Robert Evans. This time it was not produced by Al Ruddy, because I imagine he was probably too scared to do it this time, especially after what happened last time. Cinematographer by Gordon Willis again. And as far as the cast, it's pretty much the same. We got Al Pacino, Robert Duvall, James Caan, Diane Keaton, Talia Shire, who is, of course, the director's little sister, and John Cazale. And let's not forget on this one, we got Robert De Niro. Whoa. So in this movie, we're continuing the saga of the Corleone crime family, and this time it's telling the story from the young Vito Corleone's eyes growing up in Sicily and also in New York around the 1910s. It also follows the life of Michael Corleone in the 1950s. Now, keep in mind, he already has control of the family at this point. So now he's just trying to expand the family business into Las Vegas, into Hollywood, and also over in Cuba. So I want to go over some movie facts and some behind-the-scenes stuff with you that you never hear about. Starting with Robert De Niro, apparently he had to learn to speak the Sicilian dialect for this movie, and it took him about 4 months in order to play the young Vito Corleone. It's like this through the whole film, actually, and he hardly speaks any English. And apparently also to prepare for the role, he had to live in Sicily for 3 months. So talk about research, man. That must have been interesting. So like we talked about in episode 1 about Francis Ford Coppola almost being fired several times by Paramount Pictures. Well, guess what? In this one, now they gave him a Mercedes-Benz to make Godfather 2 as a reward for the record success from the first Godfather in 1972. Big surprise, huh? You know, it's funny. That was the incentive for the sequel. He had told them that many times to trust him, but they never did. So there you go. Now, it doesn't just end there. Coppola had other conditions as well, okay, before making The Godfather 2. And some of those other conditions were that he did also want to be allowed to direct one of his own scripts, which was called The Conversation, and it did get made, and that was in 74. And that also he'd be allowed to direct a production of the San Francisco Opera, and also be allowed to write a screenplay for the movie The Great Gatsby in 74, which also took place. Now remember, all this was prior to making The Godfather 2, which was due to a Christmas release in 1974. Now I do want you to know that all those conditions came for a reason, okay? Now get this, what you don't know is that Francis Ford Coppola, since he had such a horrible time directing The Godfather, which was back in 72, now, he did ask to pick a different director for the sequel when they approached him about making Godfather 2. And the thing is, he wanted to be the producer himself for Godfather 2. So what he did was he chose Martin Scorsese to direct Godfather 2. Can you imagine if that would have happened? I wonder how that film would have turned out. Wow, that would have been cool. But anyways, so the film executives, of course, they rejected it because they, at the time, they really didn't know Martin Scorsese well. And he'd only made him a couple films at that point. So it turned out that Coppola ended up having to agree to direct the movie himself. And if he did, it was going to be with a few conditions. And that's where that came from. So going into the movie a little bit now, starting with the beginning, when we see Vito Corleone as a little boy arriving into the United States through New York, and they have a nice shot of the Statue of Liberty. When he arrived by Ellis Island, and he was marked with a circled X. Now, this is a true story. Now, back then, when the immigrants arrived like that, they were marked with this if an inspector believed that the person had a mental defect. Can you imagine that? The guy that marked him with the X thought he had a mental defect? This guy ended up being the crime boss of the Corleone family. I think he was pretty smart if you ask me. So, once again, going into why you should always be nice to people, because you never know what might come back the other way. They did want Marlon Brando to come out of the second one as a cameo, and it was going to be during a flashback at the end of the film. But because of the way they treated him in the first movie, you know, like crap, and they didn't even keep making him feel unwelcomed, he went ahead and decided not to show up for the day of the shooting without any notice at all. Can you imagine? But they deserve that. They should have been nice to him. So Francis Ford Coppola had to rewrite the whole scene without Vito in the scene. And then it was filmed the very next day. So it looks like the drama continued when the production nearly ended before it even began. When Pacino's lawyers told Francis Ford Coppola that he had a huge problem with the script and wasn't going to show up. So Coppola had to spend the entire night rewriting the script before turning it back in to Pacino for his review. So finally Pacino read it, approved it, and then the production got to go forward. Wow. Talk about getting a big head. So going into some of the characters in the film, let's start with Hyman Roth, who plays the older crime boss that is doing business with Michael Corleone. He's actually portraying Meyer Lansky. That was the role model for that character. And it turned out that Lansky got in touch with the actor that portrayed him, which was Lee Strasberg, and told him, "Why couldn't you have made me more sympathetic? After all, I am a grandfather." Can you believe that? I thought he was going to threaten his life or something, but no. Turns out the conversation went well. So there was a lot of debate around the set as to whether Robert De Niro should grow a mustache for the scenes where he's portraying young Vito, you know, a few years older. But De Niro couldn't decide either. So in the end, they basically went with a coin toss. So obviously you could tell which one, the mustache, of course. So also for the scenes when they returned to Sicily, he wanted to gain some weight, you know, to make it look like some time passed. And also, he went ahead and made himself a smaller version of, remember the dental appliance that we talked about that Marlon Brando wore in the first Godfather? Well, Robert De Niro went ahead and made him some too for this film to give that appearance of him as a younger gentleman. That was a smart move.
And the winner is... Godfather Part 2, Francis Ford Coppola, Ray Fredrickson, and Fredrickson.
So Godfather 2 was the first sequel to win the Academy Award for Best Picture, and the second up until now, and the last, was The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. I mean, that was back in 2003. So it is also the only film with a prequel storyline that could be nominated for Best Picture. So that was impressive. Those of you that know the movie well, there's a spot in the movie where it's Danny Aiello, and it's the part where he is strangling Pantangeline in the bar, and he yells out, "Michael Corleone says hello!" Now, that was completely ad-libbed by that actor. What's the thing is, Francis Ford Coppola, he loved it, and he asked him to do it again in the retakes. So Aiello later, the actor, he told Gilbert Godfrey on his podcast that due to him being so nervous about working with Coppola, he didn't even hear himself when he said that line, and to this day he has no idea why he even said it. So during production, it seems like Al Pacino was just causing all kinds of problems and demanding a massive salary, heavy script rewrites, He would just complain that Francis Ford Coppola had a slow pace directing and kept yelling out that Serpico only took 19 days and kept threatening to quit. Serpico is the movie Al Pacino did 1 year before in 73, which coincidentally was 1 year after The Godfather. So right between 72 and 74, boy, he sure became full of shit, didn't he? So it turns out that Lee Strasberg, the actor that played Hyman Roth, the one that I told you was modeled after Meyer Lansky, it seems he actually became ill during shooting. And instead of delaying production, what they did was they rewrote his character as an ailing old man that was dying. Well, at least they let him still act, right? I'm telling you, everybody was coming out of the woodworks on this one. It turns out that James Caan also was asking to be paid the same amount of money that he got paid to do the whole movie of The Godfather for just a simple little flashback in the second one. And guess what? He got his wish. So just so you could see how Hollywood can be, so originally it was supposed to be Clemenza who was agreeing to testify against the Corleones in Godfather 2. And what Francis Ford Coppola did was he had to offer it to another actor, which is, the actor's name is Michael Gazzo. He ended up playing Frankie Pentangeli, which was the bald guy. He talked like this, Pastamata! That guy. So he actually received an Oscar nomination for his performance. Now, who knows if the other guy would have got that? But now, the reason that they ended up going with Michael Gazzo, who played Frank Pentangeli, instead of the other guy, which was Richard Castellano. And remember, he played Clemenza, the fat Clemenza from Godfather 1. He wanted to have his own lines. He wanted a larger salary. Wow, what a coincidence, just like the other actors. So turns out that he was asking for way too much, and they ended up having to go with the other actor, and that's how that all happened. That's Hollywood.
You heard what happened in my home?
Mike, I almost died myself. It was all so relieved.
In my home! In my bedroom where my wife sleeps! Where my children come and play with their toys.
Boy, when Al Pacino yells, he yells. I like how they always have him in his movies screaming, but in this one right here, he's very, how can I say, sheltered on being outspoken and yelling. So when he yells in Godfather 2, that's because he's extremely pissed. So it's interesting, believe it or not, Francis Ford Coppola had considered Marlon Brando back then to play Vito Corleone even as a young man, because he portrayed an old man in the first one. But remember, that was all makeup. You know, he was actually young when he did Godfather. They just were really good on making him look older. So originally for Godfather 2, they were going to let him portray himself younger. But turns out it didn't work out. So he remembered that Robert De Niro had actually done an exceptional audition for the first Godfather, but they just couldn't use him yet. So he went ahead and used him instead of Brando, and it worked out really well. You know, it's funny that Al Pacino at one point was screaming that filming was taking too long because he kept saying that Serpico only took 60 days. Well, I guess you can say Godfather 2 took a little longer, okay? So Godfather 2 was filmed in 104 days. Now that's a long time. But when you think about it, you're making a movie that's over 3 hours long. It's historical. The cinematography is incredible. The action, the editing, everything. It's just so well done. And it takes place in different times, you know, throughout the years. It takes place in 1901, 1917, 1920s, 1923, 1941, 1958, 1959, up to the most current of the film itself, which was 1960, that they were portraying. Now, here's a very funny fact that you don't know, okay? Now, Michael Gazzo, the guy that played Pantangeline, okay, the bald guy, you know, the what's the matter, that guy, okay, so he had given such a great performance as Frankie Pantangeline in the rehearsal of his testimony scene that Coppola, he wanted to film it immediately, but everyone had to break for lunch at that time. So they had to let everybody go. Okay, now, problem is, Gazzo was a bit of a drinker. So during lunch, he got drunk. He came back and he was completely unable to perform as well as he did before the rehearsal, before they went to lunch. So, bottom line is, don't drink and act.
It was an abortion, Michael. It was a son, and I had it killed because this must all end.
So another fact in the movie, when the early version of the script was ongoing, Tom Hagen, actually, they had him written in as having an affair with Sonny Corleone's widow. Imagine? Whoa. Brotherly love, huh? Anyways, so later on it was discarded because they felt maybe it wasn't, you know, proper for the movie. But what's funny is that in the line that Michael Corleone tells later on to Hagen, where he's upset with him and is telling him basically to take his business elsewhere, he does tell him at that point, you could take your wife, children, and your mistress to Las Vegas. So he did throw in the mistress part. They kept that in the script. So the musical play performed in the film was called Senza Mamma. That was the actual early 20th century play, which was composed by Francis Ford Coppola's grandfather, which was, his name was Francesco Panino. Yeah, remember that song? Remember the guy at the end? He was like, "And a mamma mia." So, unlike the first film, Francis Ford Coppola was given practically complete control over the whole production. Basically, he said that it resulted in the shoot that ran very smoothly despite multiple locations and two narratives running parallel with one film and all this craziness. But guess what? He had total control. Now, the only thing, though, is that when you run things in parallels and everything's crazy, things can come off differently when you're showing it to an audience. So they did do a test screening of the film, and it basically got a lot of negative reactions. So what they did was they cut back on the film, especially the parts where it was Michael and young Vito going back and forth. It was getting confusing and bothersome to the audience. So what he did was he had his editors, they decreased the frequency of the transition, and this way making it less obvious on the transition. And this way it ran parallel a lot smoother. So this is how sometimes you have to transition things. And looks like transition is the magical word of this phrase right here. You know, some actors get paid less, some actors get paid more. But, man, there is a difference when you make a sequel. Okay, I'll give you an example. Talia Shire, okay, which is basically, this is the sister of Francis Ford Coppola. For Godfather 1, you know how much she was paid? She didn't even have enough to pay a month's rent with what they paid her, okay? She had gotten about $1,500 for playing Connie in The Godfather. That's it. That's not even $2,000. Not even $5,000. But that was that time. Remember, 72 is a different story. And now, with this movie now, when she did Godfather 2, she got paid a little bit more. Try $30,000. That's a jump. Not bad. But today, that's an insult. You know? But on top of the $30,000, she did get a $10,000 bonus when the box office receipts showed that they made $27.5 million. Not bad, huh? You know, kind of jumping back to when Robert De Niro had did his audition for The Godfather, like I had told you earlier, you know, it was a minor role, but since he wasn't cast in that film, he wanted to use him badly, but there was no space for him in the first Godfathers. But in the second one, he saw him perfect for the young Vito, because he had seen Mean Streets with Robert De Niro, and that was made in 1973. And after he saw that movie, he knew that De Niro would be a major role for the sequel, and that's why he hired him. And also talk about timing on casting. Michael Gazzo, going back to him, who is Pantangeline, he was actually cast one day before shooting began. Wow. Didn't give him much time to prepare, did they? And he still was nominated for an Oscar. Now, the actor Lee Strasberg, he actually had to come out of retirement to play Hyman Roth, you know, after a specific request from Al Pacino about doing this role. The thing is, he wasn't willing at first. He didn't want to do it. But after a 45-minute meeting with Francis Ford Coppola's dad, Carmine Coppola, he changed his mind. I guess they must have had a meeting of the senior minds, and they did it as a brother thing. So there you go. For those who have seen the movie, there's a part where they pass around this golden telephone. And it's like, why? Who would gold plate a telephone? You know, back then it wasn't a cell phone. Okay, so it was a regular telephone. There's probably some people out there that don't know what I'm talking about. They don't even know what a rotary phone is, and that's okay. You know, that's why you're blessed with being young right now. So the thing is, this phone actually was based off of an actual phone that took place at an actual event. And you can actually see this gold-plated phone at the Havana Museum of the Revolution. Now, there's another thing I gotta put on my bucket list. There you go. I'm going tomorrow.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
So the things with Pacino kept coming up. It did have a delay for about a month on shooting because Al Pacino had developed pneumonia on location in Santo Domingo. So you can imagine that he was probably blaming Francis Ford Coppola for that one. Now, just to kind of go over with you how awesome this movie was, okay? It was the first film as a sequel to receive 5 Academy Award nominations for acting. Now, that's incredible, especially for a sequel. You'll be lucky if you find another sequel that does that. Talia Shire, which was Francis Ford Coppola's sister, she got for Best Actress in a Supporting Role. And then Lee Strasberg, of course, he portrayed Hyman Roth. He got Best Actor in a Supporting Role. Then Michael Gazzo. Okay, remember him? Michael Gazzo? Pantangeline? Okay, he got Best Actor in a Supporting Role. And then, of course, Al Pacino got nominated Best Actor. So, as far as all the nominations went, they did receive him. But the thing is, Robert De Niro is the one that took home the Oscar for Best Actor in a Supporting Role. So, he didn't get Best Actor, but he got Supporting Role Actor. So, even though there was 5 nominations, they went home in at least one. The other fact, too, being that I remember in the first Godfather, they weren't allowed to use certain words. I might have talked about this in the first episode. Basically, they weren't allowed to say Mafia or Cosa Nostra or any other name that that would relate to any type of mobsters or mafia. So they had to be very, you know, very careful about that. And I remember the director on the movie itself said Dago Guinea Goombas or something like that. They used every word at that time that I guess did not signify Italians, I guess. And that's why they went with that. But then in this movie, Godfather 2, that wasn't the case. They said Mafia quite a few times and Cosa Nostra and also said a couple other things, too. So clearly after the first one was made, the second one was just, hey, all hands down. Nobody's getting in their way. See, that's what happens when you make a success in Hollywood. Now, as a director, you're the king. So believe it or not, Francis Ford Coppola didn't want to do Godfather 2. It wasn't in his mind at the time, but once the word got around and he was getting a lot of notoriety and then, you know, just it was getting more and more money at the box office, then he thought maybe this would be a good idea. But see, at the time, he was thinking to himself, the only way I would do a sequel to that movie is if he made it about Abbott and Costello meets the Godfather. You know, like when the Abbott's over there like, hey, Abbott! You know, that kind of movie. That'd be the only way. Well, all I got to say is thank God that didn't happen. Thank God. It took a lot of convincing by Paramount Pictures to get Francis Ford Coppola to change his mind, though. So, I don't know. They must have really pumped him in with some money on the profits because thank God he changed it. You know, interesting enough, Gordon Willis, even though he did film the first one as on cinematography, they didn't offer him the first time to do for the second one. They went to another cinematographer. His name was Vittorio Storano. He actually turned it down. Can you believe that? He turned it down because he thought that he didn't feel that a sequel would never meet the matching of the original Godfather. So that's why he didn't do it. Man, was he wrong. Boy, he should have done it. I bet you he was kicking his ass every day for that one. So actors do have a tendency to go at a different rate as far as being a method actor, being a studying actor. You know, there's different kinds. Now, there was an actor, his name was Timothy Carey. Now, this guy, believe it or not, he turned down the offer to play Luca Brasi in the first Godfather. And he was even offered the role for Don Fanucci in the second film, the Godfather 2, this one. And while performing his audition, he went to Paramount. And then with the audition, Francis Ford Coppola was there and Martin Scorsese was there also. So this guy's Carey, when he's pulling his audition out, he gets a handgun out of his jacket. It's a prop gun, of course. But they don't know that. And it's loaded with blanks. And he pulls it out of a pastry box on top of that. And then he starts firing a shot off at Francis Ford Coppola. So naturally, he thinks he's got shot. And everybody's panicking now. And then on top of that, he pretends to commit suicide with the prop gun. Now, there's reports out there that differ as to whether Coppola immediately was overimpressed and gave him the role immediately, or did he immediately have him removed by security? You know, I imagine they had him removed because it appears that there was other demands that he was wanting that they could definitely not meet. So they just figured, let's just pass this guy over. You know, even though Robert De Niro is only speaking Sicilian in this movie, he did speak some English, a little bit. 8 words to be exact of English in the entire movie. Over a 3-hour movie, and most of it he had to speak was Sicilian. He sure did his homework. I'm telling you, I was convinced that he knew how to speak Sicilian. Even when it comes time to name out actors and who they portrayed, some just don't care to be recognized for one reason or another. But Michael's unnamed bodyguard, okay, from the second one, the guy that was dressed in a black hat, black coat, black shirt. It was all black. This guy was all black. He was listed simply as Michael's bodyguard in the credits. Can you believe that? But in the shooting script, his name was Buzzetta. So, I don't know. I guess his real name never just came up. Maybe he was wanted by the FBI. Maybe he was wanted by the mafia. Even the timeline in the movie is correct. For instance, there's a scene that was set in 1960, okay? Tom Hagen makes a statement. He says that nobody could kill the president of the United States. And then Michael Corleone, of course, rebutted that, and his reply was that anyone could be killed. Now, of course, 3 years later, President John F. Kennedy was killed. And there are some theories out there that the mafia was involved with that assassination. You know, I'm sure it's always exciting too for actors, you know, when they work with actors that are really professional and they're method actors and they give it their all just like the way they would. And then they get a chance to work with them again and then maybe again. And it's funny how certain actors, there's like a group that always seems to work together. And the reason I bring that up because, you know, Al Pacino, he always worked extensively with Marlon Brando and Richard Castellano in the first Godfather film. You know, but he worked with neither one of them or their replacements in this film, which is Godfather 2. So, but many years later, though, he would have had the chance. But he did appear later on with Robert De Niro in Heat and in Righteous Kill in 2008. Heat, I believe, was 1995. And then presently, well, The Irishman, which came out in 2018. And then he also appeared with Bruno Kirby, who portrayed Clemenza when he was young, in Donnie Brasco. And that was in 1997. Al Pacino's worked with these actors over and over again. So that's cool that they keep him within that close circle. And remember how I told you about the salary that Talia Shire got, you know, Francis Ford Coppola's sister, which chicken feed is what they gave her, basically. Well, as a sign of absence in big time as far as money, with Al Pacino, though, you know, he was paid $500,000 for Godfather 2, plus a 10% share of the profits for the film. Now, in the first movie, he had only received $25,000 for the film, which was 2 years earlier. What a big difference, huh? We're not talking about just $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. We're talking about $500,000 now. So it's amazing. When you do good in Hollywood, you do good. So now you're going to get schooled a little bit on mafia and mafia talk. Okay? Here's the lingo for it. Basically, there's a scene where Don Fanucci says, and it's in the order that shows proper, you know, to give respect to him for who he is, the Black Hand. You know, Vito and his friends, that they allow him to wet his beak a little. That's a phrase that they always tend to use. By giving him a share of the profits. You know, it's basically, it's Sicilian slang is what it is. The meaning of it basically is to get a piece of the pie. And this is a common expression that they often use to indicate extortion activities that are committed by mafia members. So there, now you got a lesson in mafia lingo. So the one of two Robert De Niro movies to win Best Picture, one Godfather 2, the other being, guess, The Deer Hunter. And that was in 1978. Now, for those of you who don't know Peter Sellers, okay, he's an actor. He was actually considered first to play Hyman Roth. But thank God he didn't, because Peter Sellers was the Pink Panther. I know not a lot of you know who this is, because it's way before your generation. But for those of you who are around my age, you know who the Pink Panther is. Remember? Oh man, they were so funny. They had a series of them, like Pink Panther Strikes Again, The Revenge of the Pink Panther. These were fantastic, man. I used to love these movies. Well, anyways, that's who it was, and I'm glad they didn't give him the role, because I can't imagine Peter Sellers, the comedian, playing Hyman Roth, the mafia boss. No, I can't see that happening. And even though Baby Sister was in the movie, Talia Shire was the only Best Supporting Actress at the Oscar nominees that year. And that was from a Best Picture nominated film already. So that must have been impressive for the family. And at the same talking, Robert De Niro, the same thing. You know, he won an acting Oscar award for his performance in the same film, which won for Best Picture. So there are some good actors in this movie. You know, some of you might know who I'm talking about. Some of you might not know who I'm talking about. But for those who have seen The Godfather 2 numerous times, Johnny Ola, he was actually based on a real-life mobster who was known as Vincent Jimmy Blue Eyes. This is true. I don't know if any of you knew that, but there was a narrative book out there called The Bloody Business, and it was based on the character that Johnny Ola was portraying, which was Jimmy Blue Eyes. So, you know, Clemenza in the first film was fat, you know, so in the second one, though, they had to portray him as a young Clemenza. And the actor that did that is Bruno Kirby. Now, some of you know Bruno Kirby. Unfortunately, he did pass away. But he did really good in the City Slickers 1 and 2. Yeah, numerous other movies. But and he was in Donnie Brasco. He's the one that got killed by Al Pacino. Okay, so maybe that helps you figure out who this is. Okay. But he played the young Clemenza, and he had to wear a fake fat belly, you know, beneath his costume to indicate the growing obesity of his character. And remember, because that's how Clemenza was in the first one. So it looked kind of funny. You could tell it was like a bodysuit, and he looked more like a balloon ready to pop, really. He looked inflated. He didn't look obese. Now, talking about being sentimental, in the co-authors, Mario Puzo and Francis Ford Coppola, you know, they did have some agreements and some disagreements. Now, one of the disagreements were whether Michael should have Fredo killed. Now, what's funny is Puzo didn't want to do it, but he kept getting prodded by Francis and prodded. So finally he said, okay, well, the only way I would be okay with Michael doing that is if he waited at least until their mother was dead first. Okay. That's all it took. And going on the subject, continuing from there, as the deceased Mama Corleone, the actress was Morgana King. She only appeared in the coffin for the establishing shot, which you can't see her face clearly. But in all the other shots that you see where there's the coffin, she's not in it. Because Coppola's mother, basically, Italia Coppola, she stood in for her. She's the one that was in the coffin at those shots. Because she initially refused to even be in the coffin at all. So we're lucky that at least we got her in that establishing shot. So let's have a little Godfather 2 quiz here, all right? Just for some fun. Now, it is a mafia movie, and there is violence, and there's definitely death. Many of them, okay? Now, how many total of deaths would you say there were in Godfather 2? Think hard. Circle through it real fast in your mind. Come up with that number. All right, you're not going to believe how many. 16. That's it. I don't know what you thought. Maybe you guessed 20. Maybe you guessed 30. Maybe you guessed 5. I don't know. Maybe you fell asleep for some of it and you think there's only one. I thought at least 20 or close to 20. But 16? That's it? What kind of mafia is this? You know, talking about things seeming similar, the assassination part of the movie of Hyman Roth, it does strongly resemble that of Lee Harvey Oswald. If you think about it, you know, when Jack Ruby killed him. Now, Danny Aiello, he went on to play Jack Ruby in the movie Ruby. And that was in 1992. And remember, he was in Godfather 2. So isn't that something? What a coincidence, huh? You know, you would think to yourself, how does one get notoriety in the mafia when you do the killings yourself or you order somebody to do the killings yourself? And that happens in the movie. Now, the killing of Don Fanucci in the second one. Now, that's a reflection of the killing of McCluskey and Salazzo from the first one. Okay? Now, the coincidence there is handguns for both instances were used. The killings are carried out by both father and son, Vito Corleone and Michael Corleone. Minus Vito killing Don Francesco, of course. Now, these are the only killings that you're ever going to see carried out personally by a Corleone. Well, folks, thank you for joining me for this episode of The Godfather 2 Talk. I really appreciate it. Tune in for the next episode where we talk about Godfather 3 and all the cool facts behind the scenes. And on this one, you're definitely going to want to hear, because I have some very excellent forthcoming news for that movie. We're talking about a re-edit of the beginning, changes in the middle, and so on, and a re-edit of the ending so that it makes more sense for Godfather 1 and 2. And I bet you anything for something coming in the future, too. So join me then. I'm your host, George, here at Movie Heads. Be well.